Hello and welcome to the Learning to Mum podcast, a podcast dedicated to talking all things being a mum and all things being a female. The latter I feel much more qualified to talk about. I'm passionate about the honest accounts, the raw reality, and all the highs and lows that come with motherhood. So welcome to this podcast hosted by me, Kelly Beaumont. I'm so grateful to have you listening to me today. Enjoy. Good morning. Long time no speak. I say good morning, but appreciate that that will be completely redundant dependent on when you're listening to this. For me, it's morning. It's about 20 past eight on Thursday, the blur of December. Yeah, I didn't click off this recording because I've got no idea how the technology works. So it's December, and it's a Thursday, and it's the morning. And it's been a long time since I've spoken to you. It's been a long time since I've recorded an episode, and yeah, I wanted to drop a little recording because stuff's been happening. So let me give you a bit of an update on Ophelia. And because I don't listen back to my episodes, I can honestly not remember what I've told you, what she started doing and when. So if there is any repetition, I sincerely apologise. But where we're at the moment, Ophelia is walking like a crazy, crazy girl. She just went from nothing to everything, really. She started doing a few steps, like at nursery most noticeably, and I think probably because she could see other children doing the same. And then we continued doing it at home, and she just eventually picked it up and did it herself. We were certainly not in any rush to do it. We didn't try and push it or anything like that. We just let her do her thing. We had a walker. She was kind of using that. Well, she was using that. And then I think it just happened from there. She's at home at the moment. She's just clocked me. Oh. Yeah? What have you found? Yeah. You're playing in your bedroom. Yeah? Off she trots. I'm just in the process of getting ready, and as you know, this is a continuous multitask. So yeah, you'll hear background noise, you'll hear heavy breathing at points, probably you'll hear, yeah, a multitude of things, I'm sure. But if you are somebody who has listened to this right from the beginning, you know I'm fairly unapologetic about that. So if you're new around here and you ain't about the this kind of stuff, you prefer a bit more of a pristine podcast, I suggest you maybe, yeah, find a different one, because that's definitely not what the gig is here. Anyway, so walking is definitely the thing now, and since she was walking, we've purchased a couple of pairs of shoes, proper shoes. Her original pair of shoes, her Clark's shoes, I say proper shoes, her original pair from Clark's, we'd got because nursery had said that they, you know, they go outside and we don't want them not to be in shoes kind of thing, even if they're not walking. So we bought her some, you know, fairly like low price, I think I got them in sale, Clark's shoes. And then when she started walking, my, you know, fantasy became a reality. So I bought her first pair of Converse. And then we bought her some cute zip-up patent Doc Martens. And yeah, I mean, that's me done. That is me done. That's when I found out I was having a little girl, the thing I was so looking forward to was putting her in her first pair of Doc Martens. And that dream came a reality. And that's it. That's all I wanted. So, Ophelia, you are now going to wear, well, not Doc Martens, because you've had them. she's just sat here looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah, that's super cute, and she loves her boots so much. Because I just thought, well, they're going to be the hardest things to walk in, but you know, it's all about the look. But she absolutely loves them, absolutely loves them, and she looks fabulous. So it's a great win-win situation. So that's the walk-in. Teeth-wise, I think we have seven. I don't think that's too dissimilar to when we last spoke, actually. The teeth just, they're not a thing for her. She's quite happy with the ones that she's got. But it just means that certain foods are still out of the picture, even though she's, how old is she? 16 months? She'll be 16 months on the 10th of December, I think. I really think it's the 8th today or the 9th. It's the 9th. It's the 9th of December. She's 16 months tomorrow. But yeah, just seven teeth, four at the top and three at the bottom. She's blabbering a lot more. I mean, she's always been one for just chatting away to herself. But that's just continued to go from strength to strength. And now what's so fun is if you can hear, if I sound weird, it's because I'm putting mascara on, and everybody knows how much concentration needs to go in to put in mascara on. She now points to her body parts, so she can do her head, hair, ears, eyes, nose, mouth, teeth, fingers, hands, belly, feet, toes. I think that's everything. Without fail, every time, and it's just so cool to see her little brain develop, how she's picked things up without too much like prompt or practice or whatever. Moreover, she's doing things like jigsaw puzzles and things, not jigsaw puzzles, that makes it sound like a child genius, but you know, like when you need to match shapes to certain things. So she's got, we got her like a specially made like shape sorter, but not a shape sorter. It's like a flat jigsaw, and you've got to match things to go in the shapes. I'm sure that there's probably just a bog standard name for it, which I am not doing a good job of articulating, but hopefully you know what I mean. And at first, what she was doing, like the exact picture to the exact picture, and I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. But then she was matching shapes that didn't have the same colors to each other, and I thought that that's probably like another dimension, because it's all well and good seeing something that is an exact match, but when something isn't, I think, oh, that must be, I don't know, that just seemed really, I was surprised she just sat there and did it herself without any prompt, and I was like, okay, just gonna pretend that this isn't a big deal, but it feels like it's a big deal. So there's loads of stuff like that that she started to do, which is just awesome. Nursery continued to be so, like, so happy with her. They send so many pictures. They say that she's like looking after the littler children. I need to say it quietly because she knows the name, but she's got a little friend at nursery called Patrick. I can't say the name because she gets too excited and is obsessed with him. Charles was telling me the other day that they'd seen each other outside at nursery and they just were not interested in anyone or anything else. And they would only go inside together. She tries to say his name. Oh my gosh, it's adorable. Ophelia, why are you bringing your pillow and blankie? It's not nap time. This is what happens when you wake up at 6 instead of 7. You think that a nap's an hour early. Yeah, not yet, babe. Yeah, I know, baby, but not yet. Can mommy get that bogey? Yeah. So that's super cute. And he sent her a Christmas card yesterday, which is just adorable. So we need to return that. I haven't done any Christmas card shopping, let alone writing and posting. So I'm going to try and do that this weekend because, yeah, Christmas is not far away. You will have probably just picked up from what we were saying that morning naps are still a thing. We're in that kind of transition zone at the moment, which I actually find the hardest. Some days she wants a nap, other days she doesn't. And I find it very difficult to be out of control in that sense. I find it very difficult to not have a routine. Just, yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky for someone who is a self-proclaimed control freak. So sometimes I find that pretty difficult. That kind of is going to form part of the topic of what I want to speak about today. And then she does her lunchtime, like after lunch nap as well, is still very much a thing. But at nursery, she's gone down to one nap. So we thought, oh, maybe she's down at one. And yeah, she's not. Anyway, by the by, the second, not the second, I've spoken about many things. The other thing to point out, I did mention nursery, she's still there. She's currently still doing 3 days a week, but from the new year, she's going to be going up to 4 days a week. 4 days a week, one day with my mum, and then the weekends with me and Charles if he's not on shift. Because I'm going to go back to working full time. There's a key reason why that's happening, but I'm not going to talk about it just yet. It's something that I will inevitably share, as you know, later down the line. But for now, that's the decision. We were reluctant to do full time. Well, I was reluctant to do full time initially because I had, in my mind, decided that because I only had the shortest maternity in the world, or that's how it felt anyway. I'm sure people do a lot shorter, but it wasn't what I'd kind of planned in my crystal ball. But because of everything that happened with COVID and everything, I just didn't want to continue with my maternity. I had gotten over it and was ready to kind of go back to work and have some level of normality. So because I'd cut maternity quite short, I think for me it was making sure that I still had a day through the week with Ophelia. And also not knowing how she would be at nursery. And having been at nursery now since April, so coming up 8 months, and because she is absolutely thriving, the right decision for us, or me particularly, and I say me because Charles kind of lets me make those key decisions. He's fairly relaxed about those types of things. Oh, my makeup has gone horrendous, guys. Oh, no, sorry. I appreciate that is not what you wanted to. You have no interest in hearing about this, but I cannot bear claggy makeup. Sorry, it just looks, I look vile, guys. I just look vile. The amount of bronzer that I have just accidentally put on my forehead is just treacherous. So then I've tried to kind of buff it off with a beauty blender, which has then taken half my face off that I'd put on, so half my tinted moisturiser, which has made it just separate and just, yeah, it's just not a look. And I'm tying my hair back today, which means you're going to get to see it. I'm so orange. I'm so orange. This is the problem when you get ready in the dark and also try and multitask. I wish I could, I wish this was like a podcast with pictures or like a video or something, because this is not a look. Oh, how annoying. Jeez. I think this is why a lot of mums just don't even bother. And I'm not even big with the makeup application. Like I said, a bit of tinted moisturiser, bit of mascara, bit of bronzer, blush if we're lucky, and we're good to go. But today, my face is not playing ball. Ophelia, are you tired, sweetheart? You're just sat there very quietly, aren't you? Ophelia, are you okay? Are you okay? Ophelia, are you okay? Are you okay? What? Dada's at work, baby. It's just me and you today. Yeah, we're gonna go out and then go see some friends. Yeah, gonna go play at the soft play. And then I think we're gonna see Santa. Yeah, you don't know what that is, do you? And we're gonna go, I think, on some rides. Yeah, we're gonna have to put your coat on though, aren't we? Well, we shouldn't have said that word, because you really, really like it, don't you? Dada's at work, baby. Really quite offensive that you want him after you've just spent the last 3 days with him. Yep, that's another thing. I was away for the longest time that I've been away for Ophelia. At the start of this week, I was working down south, and yeah, I mean, it was actually fine, actually absolutely fine. I mean, Ophelia's with her dad, and like, so she's with her dad, like it's the same as being with me. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna really struggle, been away for 3 days. But honestly, guys, honestly, didn't really struggle. And again, this just goes back to my complete candidness on this podcast. I did some FaceTimes with her. She didn't give a damn. I'm not gonna lie, she didn't give a damn. No tears on the WhatsApp, nothing like that. Too busy interested in food or playing. And when I returned, expected the hug. Didn't really get it through choice. It was more of a forced hug. So, the feeling is mutual. It's not like I'm sat here and she was absolutely devastated that I'd gone away and I was just numb. She and me and her clearly have very similar feelings about the situation, where it's just kind of like, yeah, just get on with it, really. So anyway, I wanted to come onto the podcast this week to just talk about the topic of mothering through the menstrual cycle. Why, you ask? Why? Well, firstly, again, I think I've spoken about this on the podcast. I have an interest in women's hormones. It's something that I've really taken, a passionate view of this year, particularly. It's something that I'm studying in, etc., etc. I've started a little business on the side. But, or with that, I should say, I have become very, very, my awareness of where I'm at in my menstrual cycle and what that means has become ever more. What is the word that I'm looking for? Like, apparent. And I had a real wobble last on Sunday before I went away on this trip. Luckily, I gathered myself and was in a great place before I left, which meant I didn't arrive down south feeling guilty and all that stuff. That's just so another layer to mother in. But it made me it compelled me to come on and speak to you about mothering through the menstrual cycle, because I have mentioned before that there are certain points in my cycle where I feel like I've got it, like I'm nailing parenting. I feel like I'm super fun, playful, happy, relaxed, laid back. Actually, relaxed and laid back probably doesn't come into my vocabulary, but an element of being less uptight. So all of the, in inverted commas, good behaviors come out at certain points, and then the less desirable behaviors then show themselves at other points. And it's really hard not to penalize myself for being a crap mum in those moments. And quite honestly, like, I struggle with it, because I think labeling it and making yourself feel the guilt or the frustration around yourself and just adding to that just exacerbates you feeling even worse. And sometimes I just think punishing yourself for being a certain way isn't the right approach, to be completely honest. And I'm just trying to as again, I've mentioned in this podcast, just trying to be a little bit kinder to myself, because I don't need to be nice to myself all the time. Because being nice sometimes conceals reality, but I can be kind to say, why is it that you felt that way? And, is Ophelia really that damaged or upset by me being, short-tempered or having a cry or whatever else? So, Sunday, I'm just going to share what happened, because I think part of undressing shame and challenging whether shame is relevant is just to kind of talk about it and open up. So, Sunday, I'd woken up and I was just in a bit of a, I was just in a bit of a grump. That there's no other way of spinning it. I think it was about day 18 of my cycle. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think around about day 18. I think I'm on day 23 at the moment. So, yeah, somewhere around there. Which meant I'd kind of ovulated and I was now like the other side of ovulation, where typically the need for like rest and for me, like having time to myself and being quite insular is like really necessary. And I just woken up and I think it was one of those days where I just wanted to hide away from the world. And with a child, that's really difficult to do. Charles was at home as well. And I was just a bit off. I think that was quite evident from like the time that I'd woken up. And then the day had gone on, and we went out for a walk. The walk was lovely. Like it, that was exactly what I needed. It cleared my head. Like getting out into the fresh air and all of that good stuff that we sometimes overlook is so important to me. I'm really aware when that's not happening. I think working from home has like made it even more, I don't know, like it's made it more difficult to get out and about and go for a walk, but it shouldn't have. So I'm trying to be really conscious of that, and trying to get out into the fresh air and things. Anyway, so we'd gone for the walk and I felt like so much better. Anyway, we had Sunday lunch booked and we sat down, and it was just evident from the moment that we sat down that Ophelia just didn't want to cooperate, for want of a better term. She just, yeah, lunch was not on her agenda, which is mad. And again, it goes back to the control thing that I was talking about, because the routine says that Ophelia loves food and Ophelia will eat all of her meals. And this particular day, she didn't want to, much like we have an appetite sometimes and sometimes we don't. And perhaps that would have been fine, but then she decided to keep throwing stuff on the floor. So around her was just like this circle of like droplets of food. And it was just, oh, it just pissed me off. And I was just, it was like a teenage girl stropping. I couldn't bring myself to smile. I couldn't bring myself to like not catastrophize the fact that there was some food on the floor. And if I'd grabbed a napkin and picked it up, it would have been gone. Like, I just turned this situation into something that was just the worst possible thing that could be happening to us at that moment in time. I didn't want to be there. I made that quite clear to Charles. I said those exact words. It was just crap. We eventually like finished lunch, and went home. And I didn't even get out of the car. I just said to Charles, I'm going to go fill up my car with fuel. I need to get some oil for my car. I'm just going to drop you off and I'm going to go get myself sorted. And Charles gets it. Like, I'm glad he understands me, because that would just make it more challenging. And I took myself to Halfords, went into Halfords, and oh, the oil situation was so confusing. It really shouldn't be that confusing. Like, nowadays, you can put your registration plate into like a tool and it will tell you what oil you need. But lo and behold, because of whatever reason, our car isn't easy to find. I went into Halfords. I asked them to have a look and he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And he was like, oh God, I've never seen this before. And it's just like something else onto what already has been not an enjoyable day. And I ended up going out to the car and I had a panic attack. And these happen to me fairly infrequently. I think I've spoken about one other
panic attack on the podcast, like when Ophelia was a tiny, tiny baby. But I just couldn't control it. I just had a panic attack. And after that, I felt better. It was like building, building, building. And then, yeah, I had the panic attack and I was okay again. And then I came home, packed my suitcase, and then by the time I'd done all that, we decided to wake Ophelia up, and I gave her some kiddles. I gave her some cuddles, some kisses, and yeah, it was fine. But it's just hello. It's just that acknowledgement that some days I'm so much more capable than others. And when I mean what I mean by capable is like I can deal with layer upon layer of challenge and stress, but sometimes I just don't have the resilience. It's like my body is rejecting it, my brain is rejecting it. And I think where before I would have really clear like boundaries of what I would and wouldn't do to accommodate my cycle, now that just isn't, that simply isn't possible in all situations because I can't communicate to Ophelia what's going on. She just simply wouldn't understand. So I think because I can't do that self-care or those types of things that I would ordinarily have done, I find that, yeah, there are some days that are much harder than others. And I guess I wanted to come on and share that with you because if you are a mother and you recognize that throughout the month or throughout your cycle, however long your cycle lasts, you have moments of like peaks and troughs, then I just want to kind of share that that's totally normal and totally in keeping with what should be happening from a hormonal perspective. Like we are absolutely fascinating. Women are just absolutely fascinating, and our hormone levels are the right thing for them to do is to rise and fall throughout the month, our sex hormones, because it's there to create and sustain life. If you're a mother, like without it, you wouldn't have had your child. And I think sometimes we give it so much critique, and actually, it's just phenomenal. And our bodies are in need of us working with them. And when we're a mother, that is really difficult to do. So I'm not here with the magic wand to say, do this, do this, do this, but I am here with some kind of clarity and also some words of encouragement to say it's okay not to feel like you're on your A game all the time. It's not physically sustainable. It's not physically possible. Women aren't built to operate in 24-hour cycles like our male counterparts. And sometimes when we hold ourselves to that standard, it's really easy to get sucked into thinking that we're incapable or we're failing. And that's just not fair and it's not true. And I think when we do work in tandem with our cycle, we are so powerful, but it's just that's not always possible when we're trying to navigate raising a tiny person. So I'm just saying, if you recognize that in yourself, like be kind, because you criticizing yourself for whatever it is that you've done is not going to help situations. And I'm not suggesting that, again, that's easy to do because I certainly was frustrated with myself on Sunday, but I didn't hold a grudge against myself for hours and hours and days. I acknowledged it and I spoke about it to Charles and I moved on from it. And Ophelia's absolutely fine. When I was going through therapy just after Ophelia was born, one of the things I spoke to my therapist about was the fact that I'd feel this guilt or shame around raising my voice at Ophelia, and that would happen so infrequently. And he basically said to me, children, as long as that isn't her way of life, day in, day out, then children are really resilient and they kind of start to forget those things. It's not like they hold on to it and think, mummy's really angry all the time, because mummy isn't angry all the time. Mummy is under pressure. She's got a job. She's quite senior. She is a mum. She's a wife. She's trying to look after the house. She's spinning all these plates, throwing all these juggling balls in the air, hoping to catch them all. And sometimes it's not pristine, and sometimes she loses her temper, and she would never do anything that would hurt her daughter. And she's just a human being. We are talking about myself in the third person. I'm gonna stop. But that's all I wanted to talk about. I can't believe that Ophelia's just been chilled this whole time, playing with her blocks, and clearly got the memo to be exceptional whilst I did this. I don't know how long I've actually been recording for. Oh, about half an hour. So what a kid. I'm gonna now go and finish getting ready. I need to put some clothes on. I'm still in pyjamas. It's 9 o'clock. Who do I think I am? I'm gonna go get changed, get Ophelia sorted so that we can be on the road for about 9:30. Go see her friends, go see my friends, socialise, go do fun things for children. Probably lose my mind because I don't really like other people's children, other than my friends, I may add. But yes. So I will leave it there. As ever, I'm not entirely sure when I will check in next. I tend to try and do it when something's happened or something is happening or whatever, or when I've got time, which isn't always that easy. But if I get another time like this where Ophelia's fairly chilled, because she too goes through moments where she is less chilled than others, and she's a female, and whilst her hormones aren't ramped up as yet because she's too tiny, I do know that it's something that, as I have greater awareness of it, I'm going to be able to really support Ophelia as she goes through those years. So I'm so grateful that I've learned about these things, and I'm trying to educate other people too so that they can look after themselves but also support other females around them as well. On that note, for anybody listening to this, in the new year I'm going to be doing some work around menarche. Menarche is when girls first start having periods, and how to best prepare your children, how to practically prepare, what it actually means, what are the signs, what to look out for, all that kind of good stuff. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, if you head on over to www.olive-avocado.com, there should be some updated details on there if you click on programs. And if you can't find updated details on there, my contact details are there so that you can get in touch and ask any questions about those courses or any of my other courses that I have running. So I do the menarche one, I do the one that's for women who are going through like their cycling years in like the mid years, and then I do a course on perimenopause, which is the one that has been super game changing for women who are heading towards menopause. I'm not going to get into detail because that's not what this podcast is about, but head over to my website and get in contact if you can't find what you're looking for, and I can give you some more details. Thank you as ever for listening. I will speak to you at some point in the new year, I suspect, if not before, because there's some bits that I want to share, but it's just not the right time at the moment. And I hope that you're all doing brilliantly wherever you're at. Whether you're a mum, a dad, a caregiver, whether you're listening to this, having had your child many years ago, nodding along, saying, yep, that was me. So lovely that you're here. Or even if you don't have children and you're just here out of curiosity, I think that too is just absolutely brilliant. So thank you so much for your ongoing support and for continuing to listen. And I know people listen because the numbers are there and I can see people listening all over the world, which is amazing. I've got people in the US, I've got people in New Zealand, Australia, in Europe, pretty much everywhere, which is just so exciting. Who knew this little kind of podcast that I started, I think on my sofa about a year ago, would actually reach people's ears. So please do like, rate, subscribe. I don't actually know if those things you can do on podcasts. That might be YouTube, but if you can, let people know about this and give it a rating. It just means that it can reach more people. and other people who might be in a similar position to you or to me that this might benefit. Because knowing that we're in this together is always sanity. So have a wonderful week, day, wherever you're at, and I will speak to you soon. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Learning to Mum podcast. I hope you found it somewhat insightful, or it gave you a little bit of insight into the reality of being a mum. You might be able to hear Ophelia in the background saying goodbye too. If you want to hit subscribe, that would be really appreciated, and it'll mean that as new episodes are launched, they'll drop straight into your preferred listening. So I'll see you all next week. Have a good one. Bye.